Good morning. We are going to sing about 10,000 reasons. 10,000 reasons to bless the Lord. Yes. You need to go to the photocopy machine. Let's do announcements.
It is a super Sunday. If you get that, it's our first friendship lunch of the fall, and there will be soup. And in my previous church, we called those super Sundays. Please do stay. All are welcome. It's a chance to warm your body with two delicious homemade soups. Today, there's beef barley, a huge pot, and there's also squash roasted carrot, gluten-free vegetarian. And it's a chance to share a meal together, to catch up with one another, meet new folks, and to engage in conversation. So all are welcome. Please do stay. Even if you weren't planning, I challenge you to stay for a bowl of soup. Coming up soon, we're entering the season of remembering, and part of that is our annual All Saints Sunday, where we at the end of this month, or is it next Sunday already? Yes, it's next Sunday already. My goodness, we will recognize the saints in our lives. And as part of that service, we will name the saints, those who have died in that are connected to us. We will light a candle in their memory. If you would like to add a name to the list, please contact Anna Marie in the office, and we will lift up all of our names during worship next Sunday. Also next Sunday, we will welcome Reverend Dorothy Jeffrey to lead us in worship, as Reverend Maggie will be away on retreat, and I'll let Maggie make an announcement about that.
There's a group of us that are going over to Bethlehem Retreat Center in Nanaimo. People have signed up, and we have made plans to go. We're going to go over on Friday. People who are going, if you would talk to me at lunch, first of all, if you have not given your final payment, talk to me. And if there's a problem with that, just talk to me. There's no issue around it. And we will also sort out rides in this next week so that we don't have to take, everybody does not need a car to go over, and we'll join together when we're on the ferry. I am just going to raise a couple more things before Carrie carries on. Carrie carries on. One of them is tomorrow night, sharing our cultures through stories, which is a Circle of Nations gathering. And it will be at Mount Pleasant Neighborhood House, 800 East Broadway. They're asking for advance registration. And there's child care as well for children 2 to 6, and there's a youth program for ages 7 and up, in which there will be hip-hop, among other things. So I will bring this in to coffee or to lunch, and anybody can get the number and sign up if they wish. And I'd like to draw your attention, too, to the compassionate listening training. I did this, I can't remember how long ago, about 8 years now. And I found it incredibly, incredibly helpful. If my time allows, I may try to register for this. There is a charge. Again, if there's a problem with that, please come and see me soon, because I'll be away at the end of the week. And there are limited spots for that. But it's going to be at Trinity Grace Church. That's the location. But it's offered by a group of people who do this training with people all over the world, especially people in war-torn countries. So let me know if that would be of interest to you. Carrie's turn.
I want to lift up in gratitude thanks to all those who are helping with the soup today, both those who are here bright and early to set up and those that will remain to clean up. So thank you very much. And finally, just lifting up our brothers and sisters at South Arm United Church this morning. They are holding at this time a covenanting service with their new minister, Reverend Alan Lai. Some of our members are over there this morning, and we've also passed on our prayers and blessings to South Arm United as they officially begin their new ministry. Those are our announcements. Over to 10,000 Reasons.
I'd like to invite Henry to come forward and light the Christ candle. We have been trying to draw attention to the fact that in our tradition, the Word, which Henry will read later when he reads the Bible scriptures, and the light are related. And so each week when we light the Christ candle, reminding us that Christ is always with us, we are also reminded that the opening passage of John said that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the light. We're going to sing Heaven's Light is Lit Among Us. Please remain standing for the call to worship. Every morning, God calls you to be, and when you rise and as you become, God gives a promise. As I live and as you live, I will never abandon you. And each day we may respond, as you live and as I live, I will go with you. And each day we may say to one another, as God lives and as I live, let us go together. We're going to sing Be Thou My Vision, so I think we should stay standing.
Should. Thank you.
Please be seated. And please join me in the prayer for grace. O God, we desire more than we need, more even than we can use, more even than the world can sustain. When we act out of that lust for more, we call that sin. Give us strength to resist that desire, O Lord. Grant us wisdom. Christ, the way of wisdom, we see the needs of children for love, gentleness, patience, even food and shelter. When our convenience, embarrassment, or greed denies them the essentials of life, we call that sin. Spirit of love, we let small and trivial things eat up our time. And when we let go of people who we love, we call that tragic because we could have chosen otherwise. Don't be afraid. Please be seated. I forgot to bring something this morning, but I want you to imagine what it is that I would have brought. And that is an ExaSketch board, which is like a board that you write on, and then there's an eraser at the bottom, and you write something else, an eraser at the bottom. Do you kind of know what I'm talking about? Helpful? Good. So I want you to imagine your own personal board that you're holding in your lap. And I want you to think about this week. Perhaps there were moments that stick out for you that weren't so great. I know I had a moment this week, wasn't feeling great, a little impatient with Sarah. That was a moment I would write on my board. Wonder if there is a minute or a moment in your week that you're not so proud of, that you're not sure about, that keeps you up at 4 a.m. rethinking the conversation. Write that down on your board and hold it for a moment. We just sang, Be Thou My Vision. Oh, such a good hymn. And the second verse, Be Thou My Wisdom. God, be my wisdom, my calm and my strife. And then it goes on to say, Loving parent and child, Thou in my dwelling and I with Thee. Hold that. That wisdom, God's wisdom. And then in a moment, you're going to jump into listening to Jeremiah. And at the end of Jeremiah, there's a message about forgiveness and God's forgiveness. So we hold God's wisdom and forgiveness, and we have our board of things that we're human. Things happen we're not so proud of. And when we take the eraser, that's like receiving God's forgiveness, because God forgives us in love and grace. And so that we can keep going back, okay, I sped through the light, or I was very grumpy with Maggie, or something, impatient or annoyed or irritated because yesterday traffic, everyone was Christmas shopping already. Why were there so many cars on the road in Langley yesterday? I don't know. Which got me home grumpy. Write it down and say, thank you, God, for helping me to live into these, and thank you for your forgiveness. In grace and in love. Let that be our message today. Amen. And Isabel and I are going to head out and do some more about forgiveness while we hear.
Eternal God, in the reading of the scripture, may your word be heard. In the meditations of our hearts, may your word be known. And in the faithfulness of our lives, may your word be shown. Amen.
The first reading this morning is from the New Testament. And we're reading Paul's second letter to Timothy, starting at verse 3 and reading to chapter 4. So Timothy 3. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message, be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from the listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist. Carry out your ministry fully. And we continue the reading from the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, and reading from chapter 31, verses 27 to 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them and will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. This is the faithful witness of God's people through the ages, the divine word to us today. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Would you pray with me? Holy One, bless all that we hear and think today, and may we somehow find your wisdom in it. Amen. The days are surely coming of political unrest. Minority means government instead of immigrant. The past has come to haunt us. The present's not a gift. The future is uncertain, except for Ocean's lift. The days are surely coming of trial and flood and test. The children then will lead us, overthrow us, and teach us. And in them, we pray we will be blessed. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with Israel and with Judah. There is a temptation to read this passage and believe that it promises that the days are almost here, that the new day is coming tomorrow, right away. But that isn't what Jeremiah was saying. He was preparing people for hardship, asking them to keep faith in despair. When the prophet wrote those words, the people of Israel had been defeated in battle. The people were being taken into exile, those with skill and education and talents taken to serve a foreign power. Jeremiah had been thrown into prison not by the conquerors, but by his own people for warning them of what was to come. Prophets like Amos also had warned, saying that the people had broken the covenant with God. They had ignored the law, the Torah, broken the commandments. And here is the way that they broke the covenant: by their treatment of the poor, by the way they took the homes from the widows, sold the orphans into slavery, by cruelty to strangers and aliens in their land. The king, the court, the religious leaders, no one really wanted to hear from those radicals. And now the self-satisfied have been defeated, and their land and their places of worship and their wealth and even their nation was taken from them, and they were taken from it into exile. Jeremiah is left behind in the ruins of the old dispensation, but writes to the people. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will write the law upon their hearts. This is one of the sayings of the Old Testament prophets most often quoted in the New Testament. But the new covenant Jeremiah is speaking of is not the New Testament, and he wasn't prophesying about the Messiah. He is speaking to Jewish people about a way of being rooted in the law that already exists, a pattern of faithful living and moral being and righteous relationship rooted in the original source. Jeremiah prophesies that the people will return to the land of Israel, but that the old ways of being will be over. The time of joy will not be based on the old patterns, but a new way of life and a new way of being. I was inspired as I was researching this by the words of Stanley Romaine Hopper, who is a great prophetic theologian. And he says, "The images of return are not a return to what has been. They are a return to the source of that which has been. The pattern to the new covenant must be seen if the covenant itself is to be seen in its radical newness." And Stanley says, there are three parts or provisions in the new covenant. And the first is desperate, a way to a deeper homecoming. And it means that the old gods have died. The forms and the doctrines we have ascribed to them have died. God is not bound by our definitions. Our definitions rise from our limited insights, our finite prejudice, and only partial experience. We are tempted always to universalize our own insight and bind it onto God. But God is beyond that. And between the God that is passing and the God that is coming, there is a time of terror, when the new thing is discovered. For us, it seems that it is the moment of our God's failure, the failure of the God we have understood and partially created. And we must wait, seemingly alone, until we see the new experience of a God that does not meet and yet exceeds our expectations. Jeremiah says, "It will not be like the covenant I made with your fathers." The second provision is not desperate, but it is hard. We must not remember the things of old. The new covenant is not made from the old, even out of the best of the old, but out of the death of the old. The old does not create the new. That which creates is beyond old and new. Nevertheless, the past is with us, though behind us. We will not make a future through the past things, and this too can feel like betrayal. We give up one thing before the next is in our hands, or more likely, the old is torn from us, and we find ourselves in an exile we ourselves have made, even while we thought we were doing what was right. The new comes not only when we least expect it, but when we least believe in it. This is the eternal mystery of grace. "In those days," said the Lord, "I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. The law of righteousness, of moral courage, and of grace will be within them." The written law does not pass away. It is anchored here, the way it has not been for generations. The third provision is forgiveness. And that forgiveness is love. It is this which is new, which is always new and eternally new. "They shall allow me from the least of them to the greatest, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more." This isn't really an esoteric or formal knowledge or learning. It is the knowledge of the experience of the God of the yearning heart. Theologian Pascal says, "The law demands what it cannot give. Grace gives what it demands." The new covenant requires the death of the God we knew and the terrible waiting of the one for come. The new covenant requires that the old passes away, and that which will be created is not just unexpected but inconceivable. The new covenant requires again and again forgiveness. God's forgiveness of us, our forgiveness of ourselves and of one another, and perhaps forgiving God for not being there when we wanted, in the way that we wanted. The days are surely coming of great change. The old gods are dying. Remember, Jeremiah wrote these words to those who had lost everything they expected. There had been death and destruction. Even the immediate future was unseeable, like ours. And yet Jeremiah ends this chapter with a really ancient promise. "Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. And unless this changes, says the Lord, I will always be with the people." May it be so. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Blessed are those who trust in the Creator of all things, whose trust is the one who made the love we share. For they shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. Such a tree shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. We long for you as the thirsty long for drink. We long for you as the hungry long for food. We long for you as the lonely long for companionship. We give thanks for the blessings we don't understand and for the way you will guide us through the darkness. Holy One, we ask your blessing this day on this nation as we come to vote. We ask your blessing on all of those who stand for election. May you write your law on their hearts, so that no matter who is elected, there will be moral courage and compassion. May this yet be the sign of this, our nation. Bless all of those who work the polls that make this democracy possible. And bless all of those who go to vote, those who have never voted before, those for whom it is an extraordinary right, and those for whom it is a duty and an inconvenience, and yet still they vote. Bless all of those who take this opportunity to teach their children about fairness and justice and opportunity. Holy One, we weep this day for those who mourn. We laugh with joy with those who celebrate. We give you thanks for a new life, and we give thanks for lives that pass away. In the times to come, we will seek you and not know where you are. And we hold to this belief that you will always be with us in those times, even when we may not know it and may not hear your voice. Holy One, Jeremiah spoke of a covenant, and Jesus spoke of the new covenant. And so we pray in the words that he taught us.